And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. Yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. And today is a great day. It's a wonderful time to be a real estate investor. Now, later in the show, I want to talk about preparing for changes in your real estate portfolio. I expect the next 2 years to be quite opportunistic for real estate investors compared to the last 2 years. Now, I've invested throughout the last 2 years. I didn't hold up or stop, but I see changes in regard to portfolio turnover that I have some sales in the near future. Is this a guarantee? No, but it's good to be prepared, right? Stay with me. I'll get to what I'm doing to prepare personally toward the end of the show. But for now, let's talk about what's ahead for real estate in 2025. And it's information like this that leads me to understand I may have some changes to my real estate portfolio coming down the road next year, next 18 months, next 2 years. So what's ahead for 2025? To say the least, the real estate market in the last 2 years compared to, say, the 10 years prior to that has experienced a pause, a slowdown since at least going back to 2022. Residential transactions decreased as higher interest rates posed challenges for both buyers and sellers. So on one hand, home sales are at a 40-year low. Inventory on the market, single family homes for sale, 40-year low. Why? Very simple. Interest rates and inflation. People do not want to sell a property that their personal home, I'm talking about personal homes. You have a stable 3% or sub 3% or even a 3.5% interest rate or less. Why would you want to come out of that to purchase something where rates are twice as high, especially looking back on the last 12 years or so? People want bang for their buck. They were used to being able to downsize and buy something really nice and get a lot for their dollar. If you have a mortgage that's beneficial to you in this regard, at what point do you trade into a borrower position that's twice as expensive? It just doesn't make sense. And people that don't have to sell are not selling. I'm one of those people. I have a large home. I bought the home because I was raising three kids. I needed a home office. Where am I today? I have the large home, two kids in college. One graduates in May. My oldest daughter lives in New York City. I'm proud of her. She's got a great job. She's a real go-getter. Would I like to sell and downsize? You bet. But I'm not going to downsize into something that's smaller and costs the same or possibly even costs more. Even if I was in an all-cash position, I would not do it. I don't need to sell, so I am not selling. Now, not to say, again, I'm a real estate investor. If the right opportunity comes along in the next 2 years, let's say, a distressed property on a nice piece of land, on a lake, river view, something like that, and I can purchase it at a discount the way we teach it here at Lifestyles Unlimited and then bring the home up to speed, bring the property up to speed, make everything really nice, I'd consider that. I'd take the equity capture as that gain, but I'm not forcing my hand right now. Now, on the other hand, so we have people that own property and they don't want to sell. They don't have to sell. They're not going to go into a disadvantageous interest rate to them. On the other hand, right, you got sellers. Let's talk about the buyers. Many buyers simply cannot afford to buy homes at these rates. And you put the two of those together and you have reduced home sales, reduced inventory of homes for sale. Like I said, 40-year low. What's the silver lining? The silver lining, my friends, is pent up demand. There's a lot of people that want to sell, have wanted to sell, but they haven't had to sell, right? They haven't, their hand hasn't been forced for whatever reasons. I will share, when the market conditions are right, you'll see the floodgates burst and homes for sale will increase exponentially. And it may be some time before we get there. Never try to predict the market. If you're a real estate investor like I am and the right opportunity comes across and the math makes sense, well, don't hold out. I never stopped investing. My friends and fellow investors have never stopped investing. When the right opportunity comes, you need to pull the trigger and take it. But what I'm saying is there's going to be more opportunities down the road when market conditions are right. And I know that's a real generic statement. There's a lot in there. Sometimes it just means confidence. All someone needs is confidence, right? The last 2 years of real estate activity has been dulled. There's been a slight pause in market activity, in the speed of the activity. That's what I'm talking about, deal flow, right? Why? Simple. Higher interest rates than people are accustomed to. I will tell you, if you look at the norm of interest rates over the last several decades, these are normal. They're just not normal in the micro, right? If we're looking back at recent history, these are pretty darn high. And with that, it is the mindset of people are the rates are much higher. I'm not selling, okay? That's going to slowly shift over time. So higher interest rates, one reason, and inflation is the other. Very simple. And it has caused a dull, but I expect that to loosen up and change over the next 2 years. Now, traditionally, high inflation benefits investors, real estate investors that are renting. Why? Because higher interest rates have caused people that want to purchase a home, it has made it unable for them to flat out financially buy that home. And if you cannot buy, then you rent. Traditionally, this has been the model going back forever. Everyone has three choices. Everyone needs a place to lay their head down at night. You can buy a home, you can rent a home or an apartment, right? A unit at an apartment, or you can live on the street, or more likely move in with friends or family. In some areas, a surge in new construction and inflationary pressures have moderated rent growth. Trends vary across markets. Real estate is local. Always remember that. But nationally, okay, let's look at this nationally from coast to coast. Rent growth nationally is flat or down. Is that at your property? Probably not. Is that at all of my properties? No, it's at some, and we're doing the best we can to keep that occupancy up. But nationally, it's down. I have some properties. We're renting the heck out of it. We're in the mid to high 90s. We're doing a great job. Again, real estate is local, but nationally, rent growth is flat or even down. Now, what do I mean by rent growth? I'm talking about two metrics when I talk about rent growth. One, obviously, the occupancy. Let's say you have an apartment community with 100 units and 91 are rented out. Well, then your occupancy is 91%. If you have 87 rented out, then your occupancy is at 87%. The other side of rent growth is the ability to raise rents. In the past, let's just pick a number. From 2025 to 2021, on the right property, we were able to raise rents 10 to 15% per year in many markets. When your expenses are going up, your property tax, everything else to own a property goes up, you have to pass those expenses on. Remember, real estate is local. So when I say the right property, typically I'm talking about a property that was purchased at a discount. It was an undervalued property. It was undervalued probably because it was in disrepair. It was dilapidated. It had poor management, and as such, it had rents well below market. If there's an apartment community and it's renting for $1,100 a month and the other five apartment communities one block away or across the street or even next door are renting for $1,500 to $1,600, same type of units, right? Similar units. If property A is at $1,100 a month and the other five properties are at $1,500 to $1,600 a month, there's a reason why, okay? There's a problem, and that's an opportunity for a real estate investor. We target those types of properties. We fix it. We make it best product, best managed by the best people, the best price, and then we're able to raise those rents because people want to live there. That's our strategy in a nutshell. Now, the last 2 years, cost of living has made that more difficult. People are moving back home. They just can't afford it, or they're moving in with relatives, or they're taking on roommates. We're seeing the trends and all of this together. If the cost of living's up, you can't just pass rent increases on. People are going to choose a different solution. Hence, occupancy's down. Everything in the economy is so expensive. Gas, groceries, utilities, insurance, taxes. It makes it very difficult to raise rents. You've got to have the right property. So rent growth is flat. I was listening to a financial show just the other day, and they were talking about insurance in general. Something like car insurance in Texas went up 11% across the board last year. Health insurance, like 5 to 8%. Property taxes, another 3+, maybe 5, maybe even 10% increases in some property taxes, maybe even higher in certain areas. It makes it very difficult when everything's expensive on somebody to raise their rents. Some can afford it and some can't. And that was the double whammy for investors, right? Rents are flat, occupancy is down. Continuing on with the market outlook for 2025, why don't I share what some experts are predicting for the coming years? Not me, but people that are in the know, and I read a lot of this, I listen to a lot of this, right? They're looking for moderate economic growth, even though there's some lingering uncertainty. Investors remain optimistic. Like I said, we're still buying properties. Let's talk about the treasury rates. The 10-year treasury rate is anticipated to stay above 4% for the next year. There may be some rate compression, and that'll contribute to higher property values. That's a good thing. But basically, interest rates are going to stay up. Reduced multifamily vacancies. So occupancy's down. We see a trend where occupancy should be able to come up. There should be lower vacancy rates in the near future. New construction starts in many markets, right? There's been a boom of just multifamily and new construction across the board. A lot of that is beginning to slow down, and it's going to help us absorb some of these units and some of this vacancy. So occupancy should trend up for 2025, and that's experts are predicting, and I agree with everything they say. So I take all this information that I've shared in the last two segments, and I tell myself, when the market shifts, I'm going to have some changes to my portfolio, and I need to prepare for those.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Listening to Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. First two segments, I was sharing market outlook for 2025, if you miss those. But I take in a lot of information, and I tell myself, when the market shifts to a more positive environment compared to where we've been the last 2 years, a few things are going to happen. And it's going to change my portfolio. That's just a prediction. Is it going to happen? I don't know, but I want to be prepared for it. And one of these I'm seeing right now, more apartment communities and houses are coming on the market for purchase compared to recent history. And there's going to be some great opportunities, right now. I'm even selling a house right now. I'm selling a house for, I've bled that rock about as much as I possibly can. I've refinanced it twice. My returns have gone down to the single digits. It's time to repurpose my equity in that property into something that's got a better return. So it's time to sell. Now, I could have sold that house in 2021 for probably $10,000 more than I'm selling it now. Remember, when I'm talking about market reality and conditions are starting to set in with folks, but 10 grand in the huge scheme of things, nah, that's all right. It was rented the entire time. It's time to sell. So more opportunities are going to come out here in the next year, the next 2 years. You need to be prepared for that, prepared to invest in that. At the same time, some multifamily investments that I'm in now, some of the multifamily communities, I expect some of those properties to sell. Possibly up to 40% of my portfolio at the high point. If the ones I think are going to sell over the next 2 years, that could easily happen. There is a ton of pent-up demand, people that wanted to sell in the past, and the conditions were not right. And I don't know what the trigger is going to be to create a seller's market, if at all that even comes out, but the signs point to the possibility of that happen. Now let's talk about the other side of the coin, the buyer's market. Those signs are developing now. Many distressed commercial properties, and commercial real estate is a big category. A subcategory of commercial real estate is multifamily real estate, of which we focus on. But let's talk about commercial real estate as a whole. Many of those properties can no longer hang on. They can't hang on unless there's some sort of bailout similar to the savings and loan crisis in the late 80s or the financial meltdown of 2008, unless something like that comes along. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. In fact, I don't think it's going to happen at all. But unless there's some sort of bailout, a lot of these distressed properties are going to have to sell. Remember, I said people are not selling unless they have to. Well, that's coming, my friends. We also know, I'm talking about a buyer's market developing. Currently, right now, today, there are trillions of dollars sitting on the sidelines just waiting to gobble up commercial real estate and multifamily apartment communities, especially communities that are solid assets in good economic markets. So the money is there. The money has already been set aside and designated. They're just waiting for the right conditions to pull the trigger and start purchasing some properties. We're seeing some of that loosen up now. I expect the activity to increase over the next 2 years. Keep in mind, it may just take a few months of some stable leadership and stable economic climate, something we haven't had for 5 years. It may just take stability, right? When people are optimistic, I was talking about F-150s and Chevy Silverado trucks. There's been a spike in the last 4 to 6 weeks of those items selling because people are optimistic. The money was always there to buy the new truck. People were just holding on to it. Now they feel a little bit better, right? They feel like there's a brighter outlook for the future, so they're pulling the trigger. Real estate's the same. When giant hedge funds are optimistic, they buy. And they know, just like I know, and now you know, listening to me, cash-flowing multifamily real estate is a fantastic place to invest and park your money. These giant fund managers know that. I am preparing myself for the changes to come. I expect some of my properties to sell because many of those we've owned pre-2021 for a few years. And the conditions just weren't right in 2021 to sell. And so now we're kind of getting antsy, like, hey, it's time to move on from this property. Again, the conditions weren't right. The conditions could easily come about in the next year to 2 years. And several of these are cash flowing properties. They're well managed. We've owned them for several years. Again, the pent up demand. A few others I'm invested in, the loans are going to reset, right? The financing is going to reset most likely 2026. What does that mean? It's common in real estate. In fact, it's the norm. When you purchase a multifamily apartment community, it's not like a single family property where you have a 30-year fixed and your rate throughout the duration. Not the same in commercial real estate. The loan very well could easily have terms where they say it's fixed, but it's going to reset at this point in 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, whatever the financing structure was made when the property was purchased. And it means that they can adjust the rate at that time. Do they go straight to market level? Not always. Again, it depends on the loan, but within the terms of the loan, it will increase compared to what they have now. Some of these may be interest-only loans, and they say, okay, it's interest-only for 5 years, but after 5 years, you're going to have to start paying some interest, Mr. and Mrs. Apartment Owner. And so these loans are resetting in the next couple of years. That's going to cause a decision to be made. Do we recapitalize at a set level? Do we continue on with the financing as is, or do we sell the property? There's going to need to be a vote. And I can easily see that happening on some of my properties. Interest rates, no one's expecting those to go down. Therefore, higher interest rates compared to what we've been used to will be the norm. If your loan resets and you begin paying interest on that property, what does that mean to the investor? It means less cash flow to the investor. So will it make sense to sell some of these? Absolutely. So if 30, 40% of my portfolio could possibly sell in the next 2 years, I'm going to have a first world problem, and it's called capital gains. What am I doing to prepare for the chance that 30 to 40% of my portfolio may reset over the next 24 months? First thing I'm doing is meeting with my tax folks, and I did that last month. I want to understand the tax implications if certain properties do sell, and I want to know what my carryover depreciation is. It's very important. We want our carryover loss, our carryover depreciation, to be greater than the capital gains we have in any 1 year. Now, I'm no tax guy, okay? I'm just giving you the 40,000 foot flyover as I understand it, but I'm meeting with the professionals so they can tell me where I sit, okay? So consult a pro. I want to understand my carryover losses, my carryover depreciation. It's typically the same column versus, basically, that's money in the bank, right? That's money that I have in my favor to offset potentially any capital gains. Now, there's rules that go with it and caveats, but this is just back of the napkin understanding of how this works. So I want to get into this, and I want to understand, when I do my return, am I going to owe any money, right? I don't like paying Uncle Sam any more than you do. What are we doing to make sure we pay our obligation, right? We want to follow the law, but we want to be savvy about it, okay? And if you owe money, you need to have that money set aside. The last thing you want to do is file your taxes and go, holy cow, I don't have enough to pay my taxes. And that happened to me once in my younger days. I got a raise. This is back in the W-2 days when I was a young corporate guy climbing the ladder, had a job promotion, got a significant raise, didn't change my withholding. We did our taxes. My young, beautiful wife and I, we had just purchased our new home about 6 months prior. So we're sweating it out, right? We got the first home. I got the raise. I got the promotion. And then I do my taxes and they're like, you owe X amount. Now, I will tell you, it wasn't a large amount, but it was a large amount to me at the time. My wife and I just looked at each other and I was like, holy cow, I actually had to borrow the money to pay my taxes. What a sad world we live in. But I borrowed it. I paid my taxes, got it paid off for the next couple of months. I never want that to happen to me again, and it's not going to happen to me again. So I want to understand what's going on. And if I need to pay money, I want to have that money set aside. Here's what I do at a basic level. If I invest in a property, let's say I made a $50,000 investment into a multifamily property 5 years ago and it sells, they give me my initial 50 back and they give me another 50. Very basic, 100% return. I have $50,000 profit. I'm going to owe capital gains, close to 20% of that. I will literally set aside 20% of that and put it into my tax fund, because I don't want to scramble if I have a taxable event. Now, on the back end, I'm talking to my tax pros saying, hey, how we looking? They may very well call me back and go, Harrison, don't even worry about it. You have enough carryover losses to more than eat that $50,000 gain. Don't set it aside. Then I'll transfer that 12 grand back into my general account. I'm just that way. Be a Boy Scout. Be prepared. Where do you find your carryover loss on your tax form? It's on line 16 of Schedule D of your previous year's return. Line 16, Schedule D. Again, I'm no tax guy. Talk to your people and understand that. Now, let's talk about what a K-1 is. When we invest in a multifamily property, at the end of the year, we receive a K-1. And it's really, it kind of gives us an update. It does several things. First thing it does, it's my specific share of income and losses. Again, we're depreciating this property. I want the losses to be greater than the income. Phantom losses, they're on paper. I still got paid, but the K-1 is going to reflect that and show me, and I can gauge potentially any tax liabilities. So the K-1 does that. It ensures your accurate investment, right? You should see the amount that you invested in the property. And it just allows you to monitor your investment's ongoing financial health and progress. But the big thing it does is it shows me my income and losses. And the life cycle of a K-1, it's really an annual report financially of how you performed, your investment performed as an investor. It shows you ongoing management. It shows you capital any capital events that may happen and liabilities within that. Just the whole gamut is within the K-1. And if there's an exit, it will reflect the exit on that K-1. So that's K-1 in a nutshell. But if my property is turning if several properties are turning over on the next 2 years, there's some additional preparation I need to do. The next thing I want to focus on is I want to keep investing. I want to put more money into more opportunities. If I'm expecting capital gains in the future, another way I can offset that is to have more write-offs, right? More investments in more apartment communities passively. We invest as much for the cash flow as we do for the stream of depreciation, right? We want to build up those passive losses and depreciation and offset future capital gains. So I need to keep investing, right? I need to keep investing. I need to keep building the cash flow snowball. The other thing I'm doing is understanding that if I have an apartment community, an investment sells and it's cash flowing. Let's say I have an apartment that I'm invested in. It's paying me $8,000 a year in my quarterly dividends, all in. $100,000 investment, 8% return. I'm getting $8,000 in cash flow. When that apartment sells, I just lost $8,000, right? My salary, so to speak, my returns decreased by $8,000. I don't want to take an $8,000 pay cut. So I'm making that up as I go by continually to invest in more properties and more opportunities as they come along. You invest in one apartment. This is how we grow the portfolio. You invest in one apartment community. Let's say you take $50,000, you invest in one apartment community. 3 years later, it runs its full cycle. You now have $100,000 if you made 100% return. And I'm just pulling numbers out of the air. Now I can go invest in two communities. Then two communities becomes four communities. Four communities becomes eight communities. You continue to roll all of your gains into the cash flow snowball and build your portfolio. That is chunking at its finest, my friends. That is buying your life back by growing your amount of passive income and your investments as you go. It's what I talk about all the time. In doing so, to continue to reinvest and to protect that cash flow, I need to stay educated. Markets shift. The first half of the show, all I'm doing is talking about the doldrums we've been in for 2 years and that I expect the activity to pick up over the next 2 years. If for no other reason, it's confidence in the market and it's people becoming accustomed to the situation that we're in today. The other thing I need to do, networking. I need to stay in the know. I need to talk to people that are doing what I do. I need to understand which leads, also known as a syndicator, but what lead investors are actively pursuing deals because I want to reinvest. That way I can sort out and find opportunities that fit my strategy, right? The type of investment the lead's looking for. Are they looking for a lead? Are they looking for a yield play or are they looking for a value play? A yield play is typically cash flow early on. A value play may be a 2-year hold before you even get any cash flow. It's more of a capital gain event or a potential refinance event down the road. Understand the difference between both. I need to know which leads are looking for properties because there are certain areas I like to invest in, right? What geographic area are these lead investors targeting? We have some software here at Lifestyles Unlimited. It's a fantastic piece of software. I told the guy that wrote it that it was his magnum opus. It's called Podium. I subscribe to Podium, and it's a way I can manage not only my current investments, but I can also catch deal flow as they come across through my Podium app. Absolutely fantastic. If you have any questions on Podium, send me an email. And the last thing that I'm doing, if I'm preparing for portfolio sales, and I'm going to get some capital gains out of it, those are victories. Those are victories. I want to celebrate those victories as they come across, right? Reward yourself with the wins. And it could be something simple, but it's more important. The reward is more important to reinforce your mindset as to what you're doing. You're changing your life. You're buying your life back. So when you get these rewards, it could be a nice dinner with your spouse, maybe a bottle of champagne. Don't go buy the $100 bottle. Go buy the $15 to $25 bottle. It may be a small two-day vacation, three-day vacation. But again, it's not the reward. It's the act of rewarding yourself through the process, through the victories, celebrating the wins, training your mind to be conditioned to, this is why we're doing it. We're changing our life. We're building our wealth. We're creating additional cash flow. Why not celebrate that when you get a small victory? And then, by the way, reinvest those returns and continue to grow that cash flow snowball. And along the way, I want you to understand, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.